the FBI can be a really valuable resource, not only to see if they may have the decryption key themselves, but it's also, you'll also hear from the FBI that their viewpoint is that they recommend not paying because it will only help encourage these type of attacks to occur in the future. But at the end of the day, they'll also say that they won't stop you because it's a business decision that they know you need to make. The other questions that really dictate whether or not an organization should pay is, what is your viability of backups? Did the actors actually get to the backups and delete those? What is the financial cost of the downtime for the organization trying to bring the systems back offline to the backups that they are available, or recreating the data themselves? And what data is encrypted? Is the data that's encrypted something that's not essential to the business? Can you get by on other business continuity plans without the data? And then also, understanding what the speed of recovery from backups is versus decryption and other business issues. Because just because you get the decryption key doesn't mean you're going to be back into operation within hours. The decryption can take a long time, and there still may be some loss of data. But it's also important from a legal standpoint to understand that even if the investigation hasn't identified any unauthorized access to or acquisition of information that would trigger notice obligations, certain regulations require that you still have a notice obligation under certain circumstances if the data is unavailable. Under GDPR, for example, there's an obligation to notify your data protection authority if data is unavailable, the personal data is unavailable, and you can't otherwise provide those services that you could to the individuals. Entities that are regulated by the Department of Financial Services, they have to report an incident that materially impacts their operation, such as a ransomware attack. Covered defense information, which is an organization, which we'll cover later, is subject to DFARS, and they are a contractor or subcontractor subject to DFARS regulations. They may have an obligation to notify on the basis that the data is purely unavailable. And healthcare organizations have unique obligations as well, because HIPAA and ransomware attacks, the PHI, Protected Health Information, is presumed to be a HIPAA breach unless you can conduct a full risk factor assessment that rebuts the presumption of a breach. And the Office of Civil Rights with the Health and Human Services has provided guidance on how to conduct that test to determine whether or not you have a notice obligation under HIPAA. So it's really important to know whether any protected health information is involved. Another important component of ransomware attacks that really need to be on the lookout is there's been a recent change in tactics where actors are now infiltrating data and extorting for organizations to demand that they avoid releasing data publicly on websites that they maintain. And before an organization makes a decision to whether to pay the ransomware attackers to avoid this public disclosure, they need to understand that it may not impact your notice obligations. Just because an actor says they're deleting the information doesn't mean you can trust them or that there hasn't already been unauthorized access. So you still may have notification obligations depending on the type of data. And quite frankly, you really can't trust the attackers not to release the data or misuse the data if you do pay. So those are all really unique scenarios and legal issues that you need to consider when responding to ransomware incidents. And we lost some time earlier with the audio issue, so I'm going to jump down to network intrusions and some of the data-specific obligations that can arise there. Payment card data. If your organization accepts or processes any sort of payment card data, it would be subject to the payment card industry data security standards. And if there's any actual or potential access to payment card data, or systems that process or transmit data, you have an obligation to notify your acquiring bank and the card networks, depending upon how your relationships with the card networks is structured, within 24 to 72 72 hours. So it's really important to understand what your obligations are, who you need to notify, and what information needs to be provided within that short time frame. In these incidents, they're unique in that the payment card industry, the card networks, can require that you engage a separate forensics firm in addition to one that you may have engaged through counsel to report to the card networks their findings. And all costs of this payment card industry forensic investigator that you hire or required to hire for your financial responsibility, but any communications with or work product created by the PFI are not privileged. So it's really important to understand and communicate with the PFI in a way that is oftentimes different in how you communicate with your privileged firm. And at the end of the day, the PFI's findings are what the card networks are going to use to determine whether or not they're going to issue any fines for noncompliance with PCI-DSS. And those can include assessments for reimbursing issuing banks, for card reissuance, for heightened monitoring that issuing banks or the cards who are affected have to monitor those accounts, or for incremental fraud that issuing banks have to reimburse their customers for. And those funds can be quite substantial. So payment card industry incidents can present a number of unique legal issues. The next slide, I mentioned this earlier, but